Welcome to Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams so that you have the courage to live your best life. I'm Rebecca Mullen, a relationship coach living in Western Colorado. And today we're going to look more at the topic of changing an agenda into an invitation. We'll look at how an agenda damages the dream you have for your relationship. I'll give you three specific words that help you change an agenda into an invitation. And in our date night discussion section, you and your sweetheart can laugh as you change oppressive agendas into invitations that you can't resist. Does it matter how you talk to your sweetheart? Have you ever felt nagged? Or maybe you did the nagging and wish you could take your words back. Notice the difference between, why don't you ever clean the kitchen? And, when is a good time for you to clean the kitchen? One of those questions damns your sweetheart, who is never going to clean the kitchen, while the other question assumes your sweetheart wants to help, but is maybe finding it difficult to schedule. The character of the questions you ask makes a big difference in your relationship. I've had clients tell me they ask over and over for what they want, and their sweetheart doesn't change or answer. So they feel ignored, invisible. Then I ask them to tell me about the conversation, and I hear those words, "Why don't you ever clean the kitchen?" Oh, my dear friends, this is not a question nor a request. It's a damnation. You and I both know this phrase, "Why don't you ever clean the kitchen?" is a cry for help. I can hear how tired you are. I can hear the overwhelm. I can hear the frustration and the loneliness. And I want to talk for a moment to those feelings. It's really lonely when you feel overworked, especially if you feel invisible, like no one sees the work you do. I want you to hear me say, "I see you. I know how invisible you feel. It's so much work to keep a family fed and truly nourished. Planning meals is a gigantic task. Cooking, shopping, and cleaning up too, that is enough to make a person toss their hands in the air and scream, 'Why don't you ever clean the kitchen?'" And as much as I know this loneliness and overwhelm to be a valid feeling, if this is how you ask for help, you're going to remain lonely. Of course I'm in favor of you speaking your truth. "I'm lonely in this kitchen. I feel overwhelmed. I need some help. Could you please make it your job to keep this kitchen clean?" You've got my 100% support. If you can ask like that, I say go for it right now. I know you're frustrated. You get to be frustrated. And there is power in how you ask for what you want. I want to point out the subtle but tenacious toxicity of these sorts of why questions, because they are alienating your sweetheart when you need them most. And you probably don't realize it. You think you're asking for what you need. You are positive you are asking for what you need. So how do we change the character of our questions? You can turn a damning question like, "Why do you spend so much money?" into a question that invites a dream. How can we save more money? How can we save enough money to put down a down payment on a house? I'm going to use three steps. The first step is use the why part of your question to see the damnation you're pummeling into your sweetheart. Step two, notice your feelings. This is a crucial step. You can't skimp here. And then step three, then change the why into what, how, or when before you speak the question aloud. So let's look at this one. Why do you spend so much money? First step, notice the damnation. Can you feel the blame implied? You're a loser. You spend so much, we're never going to get ahead. Step two, notice how you feel. What is it you truly want? I'm frustrated. I feel like no matter how much money I earn, my sweetheart manages to spend it all. We're never going to be able to buy a house at this rate. I feel hopeless. In many episodes of this podcast, we would spend time with those feelings, but today we're going to move right on to step three. Step three, shift from why to what, how, or when. When do you want to buy a house with me? Can you feel the dream you're trying to wake up in your sweetheart with that question? When do you want to buy a house with me? Okay, let's get real. You discovered you're really frustrated in step two. You might need some time to deal with those frustrations. But again, today I'm going to suggest you try something new. Instead of focusing on the failure, let's try to wake up the dream. Life is hard. Our dreams take a regular beating because we start the day with energy and vitality, and we think we're going to conquer world peace, and then the bottom of the trash bag breaks while you're taking it outside. And then your coworker says something slimy. And then someone eats your lunch that you brought from home. And all you want to do is go home, crawl under the covers, and melt. You went from world peace to melted. Dreams are fragile. So they need regular stoking like a fire to keep them hot and lighting the way. You know I'm a big proponent of feeling your feelings and noticing those feelings, but I also believe that feelings can be the death knell to dreams. And the solution, instead of focusing on the feeling so much, is simply to switch up the question you're asking, even maybe especially the question you're asking yourself. Because I'm also concerned with your dreams. How you talk about your dream matters. When you ask, why do you spend so much? You're focusing on the dream that's almost dead. Instead, keep the dream alive for yourself too by asking, when do you want to buy a house with me? These dreams of a clean kitchen or a house you get to own with your sweetheart are fragile. Treat them with care. Life itself will do plenty to try and damn your dreams. Don't add the damnation with your words. Some questions invite you and your sweetheart to dream of a life together. Do you know what happens to my energy level when there is a clean kitchen? Some questions damn you and your sweetheart to the hell you're living. Do you know why I get mad when you don't help clean the kitchen? How do you feel when you hear each of these questions? Notice the feeling in your body. Maybe rewind the podcast for a moment and listen to those questions again and tell me, how do you feel? Let's look at that damning question. Why don't you clean the kitchen? Do you really want an answer to that question? Because here are several possible answers. Well, I don't have time. Or, I don't know, I guess I don't really value a clean kitchen. Or, you seem to get the kitchen clean all on your own. When you ask damning questions, you condemn yourself and you find yourself alone with the dishes. It's insidious. We don't realize how much the question we ask matters. So, how do you choose a different question? How can you create questions that invite you and your sweetheart to dream together rather than damn each other? You know me well enough by now. I'm going to say the first step is to notice. Notice the damn you feel. Notice the dream you hope for instead. And notice how changing just the question inspires you to either dream of a bigger life or tempt you to find fault with yourself or your sweetheart. So let's experiment with changing the question to one of these three words: what, when, or how. What helps you identify what you really want or what's currently missing? When helps you specify a solution implied in your question, and how allows you to explore a we rather than blame with you. So let's try experimenting with the clean kitchen question. Why don't you clean the kitchen? Let's change it to what. What helps you identify that what you really want or what's missing? So it sounds like this. What would really mean a lot to me is if you'd be in charge of keeping the kitchen clean. What would it take for you to do that? Would you be willing to make the kitchen your job? See how just by telling yourself, I'm going to use the word what instead of why, changes the question. See how identifying what I really want helps me to ask for it? See how I'm inviting a dream of the clean kitchen by owning that as my dream and then asking for my sweetheart's contribution to make that happen? What happens if we use the word when? When helps you specify a solution. When can you get the kitchen clean? This works well if you and your sweetheart have agreed the chore of the kitchen cleaning belongs to your sweetheart. If you haven't made that agreement yet, try, when I come home and it's time to make dinner, I'm hungry and tired. If I'm facing a dirty kitchen, that makes it even tougher to make dinner. Could you be in charge of cleaning the kitchen? And could you make it happen such that when I get home, the kitchen is clean and ready for me to make dinner? Let's look at how. How allows you and your sweetheart to explore this dream of a clean kitchen and meal prep as a we rather than damning with that you. So here's what it sounds like. How do we want to share the kitchen duties? I know we both like to eat. I'm happy to cook. Could you be the person who keeps the kitchen clean? Can you feel how the dream we're trying to stoke with each of these questions? How would your life change if you asked dream-inspiring questions rather than damning yourself or your sweetheart with why questions? Okay, people, this is big work. It may be simple to change from damning why questions to a dream-inspiring what, when, or how question, but it's not easy. Because it's not easy, I invite you to notice your resistance to this practice. You might want to go back to chewing on the why question because this question nurses your feelings of pain. But at what cost? Right? Today, we're realizing it's at a cost of damning your dreams. This week's habit for your happily ever after is to change damning why questions into questions that begin with what, when, or how. And we're going to do this in three steps. Number one, notice the dam. Number two, notice your feelings. And number three, change why to what, when, or how. So first step is to notice the damning nature of the why question you're asking, either in your head or aloud. For example, why don't you ever initiate sex? Second step is to notice how you feel. It's never kind to yourself to just make yourself behave better. When you notice your own feelings with curiosity and kindness, eager to offer yourself compassion, you are infinitely more able to offer compassion to your sweetheart. In our example about initiating sex, notice how lonely you feel when you ask, why don't you ever initiate sex? Maybe you feel rejected. I always notice that I feel unattractive when I ask this question in my mind. Step three is to wonder, what do I really want to know? Let's change it to what. For example, what would it take for your sweetheart to initiate sex? An earlier bedtime? An evening away from the kiddos? Or when? When is a good time for your sweetheart to initiate sex? Even just asking this question in your head may help you to see that you and your sweetheart both initiate, but you're on different schedules. or change to how. How does your sweetheart initiate sex? Zoinks! I mean, asking this question might be very enlightening. Your sweetheart might be initiating all over the place and you're missing their cues. Are you enjoying today's podcast? Then I'd like to invite you to subscribe to my newsletter. I write to my subscribers every week and offer them some sort of invitation. I'd love to invite you to. Click the link in your podcast notes and then click the subscribe button so you don't miss a single invitation from me. We've arrived at our date night discussion. And this week, I'm going to invite you and your sweetheart to find a new wording for a handful of damning questions that I hear on a regular basis in my coaching practice. So take this list, which is copied in your show notes for you, and challenge your sweetheart to help you reword these damning questions into a question that invites a dream. Question number one. Why don't you ever ask me to help you with the cooking? Question number two. Why are you always going out with your friends instead of out with me? Question number three. Why is it that you get your glass all the way from the back bedroom to the countertop right next to the dishwasher, but you can't put it into the dishwasher? Number four. Why can't you manage to empty the trash? And number five, horrible question that you can change with your sweetheart is, why don't you ever initiate sex? After you've tackled changing these damning questions into questions that invite a dream for your relationship, I recommend you discuss the zoinks question I found above. How do you initiate sex? Did you find that when you changed the wording of any of these questions that suddenly you had an imagination you lacked previously? That's the dream for your life, waking up. And it happened to me writing this episode. Let it be fun to hear all the tiny signals your sweetheart offers to hint they're in the mood and could be open for a lovely moment of romance if they were confident they'd score with you. I want to hear from you. Tell me how your brain gets rewired when you ask questions differently. Text me at 970-210-4480 and tell me your favorite insight that came simply from changing a damning question to one that dreams of a life with your sweetheart that's different. That's it for today. I'm Rebecca Mullen, and this has been Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're better able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams, so you can have the courage to live your best life. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd be grateful if you'd send a link to your friend. Habits for Your Happily Ever After is produced by Grace Smith. All our music and sound comes from Walk West Productions. I'm Rebecca Mullen. Thanks for including me in your relationship today.